This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, y'all. Jamie here. Jamie here with a bonus episode. Yes, I really thought it would be a great idea since we're doing this whole rebranding. We have the new name, the Queer Family Podcast. We have the new logo. We have the new theme song, all of these things. We also have a big change coming to the show as well. We're having guest contributors that are past guests from previous seasons come in and help me with the intros to the upcoming episodes in season 11, the new episodes. And so I thought it would be a really, really, really fun idea to, leading up to the launch of season 11, re-release the episodes of those past guests so that you can reacclaim yourselves with them, reacclaim yourselves with their stories so that when they come in to help me with an episode in the near future, you will be very well versed in who they are and what's going on with them. But so I'm going to take it all the way back, this first bonus episode that I released for you. I'm taking it all the way back to season 3, episode 2, way back when. And it's super fun actually to hear Robin and I banter again and remember where we were in the very beginning of this. And that, I mean, that was fun for me to listen to. And then also Tiff and Carissa's story. So Tiff and Carissa are a biracial couple. And they reached out to us because they were really, really having a hard time with what we, you know, lovingly call on our show the search for Superman, the donor choice, because they're a biracial couple and they just were really grappling with what donor to choose. Did they want a black donor or did they want a white donor? And they were having a hard time making the decision. So they came on and really had a really candid and honest and truthful conversation with us about that choice and where they were with that choice. And we found their story so intriguing that we ended up actually bringing them back in for the rest of that season to give us updates. So they updated us throughout the rest of the entire season, season three. And, you know, they got to a place in the end, and they are in a totally different place now. I don't want to say too much about the episode. I don't want to spoil it for you because I want you to listen. I want you to reacclaim yourselves with them. But they, an update for them now, I've been in conversation with them because they're really excited to come in for season 11 and help me out. They do have a baby now, so they did end up choosing a donor. I cannot wait to hear the story behind that. But before we do that, I'd love you to reclaim yourselves with Tiff and Carissa. Helen, my love, roll that tape, darling. Roll that tape.
Love is love is love is love.
Today's episode of If These Ovaries Could Talk is brought to you by Cove, Modern Fertility, and Warby Parker. And we are super jazzed to have them on board with us. New sponsor alert.
What's wrong with you?
Oh my God, you guys. Episode two.
We've launched season three. I'm proud of us.
Oh my
I can't
God.
Believe this has gone as far as it has.
Jamie has a lot of faith in our podcast.
I mean, come on. I knew people wanted to hear these stories.
Obviously.
Whatever.
So before we get into our guests for today, it's Women's History Month.
It is. Happy Women's History Month. We have a little quiz we're going to do.
A quiz? We're doing a quiz?
Yeah, we're going to do a little quiz.
Wait, am I doing the quiz?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a quiz.
Oh, okay. All right. Hold on. I'm ready.
You're so confused by this.
Okay. Well, no, I didn't know who it was. I was like, it's a quiz for the audience.
Okay. I'm going to name a bunch of people from women's history that
Influential ladies.
Yes, made a difference in the world. And okay. I'm going to put one of my exes in there and you have to tell me which one is.
So this is essentially just designed to highlight my idiocy. Okay, great. Let's do it. I think I could do this.
Well, the truth is, and this is why we're doing this. The truth of this is, we don't hear about women in history class like we should.
Probably
so
Probably
I have a knowledge of these women and I want to share.
Okay. All right, let's go. I want to win.
All right,
I always want to win.
Name them. I have to do it strategically.
Okay.
The names are
okay.
Billie Jean King.
Oh, come on now.
Oh,
see, I'm a lesbian for God's
Claudette
sake.
Colvin, Sarita Jaramillo, Ruby Bridges.
I know Ruby Bridges. How many are on this list?
There's two more.
Oh my God. Okay.
Malala,
okay.
Sally Ride.
Okay. Oh, Sally Ride's the astronaut.
Oh, see, you do know who she is.
I do know. Okay. Billie Jean King, I know. Malala sounds like someone super important, so I'm going to go with that.
Uh-huh.
I'm Claudette Colvin. And who was the other one?
Sarita Jaramillo. I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Well, then that's not your girlfriend. Your girlfriend was Claudette Colvin. Like,
No.
Shit, who was your... Do you just fake me out?
Sarita.
That was your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was so good.
Actually, we interviewed her. It's Sarah J.
You're a shithead.
I know, I'm
that
sorry.
That was great.
That was a good... Shout out to Sarah, if she listens.
Oh my God, hilarious. Yeah. Hilarious.
No, yeah.
That was well done. All right, if you don't know who any of those ladies are, look
them up, guys, because we really don't hear... They're not in the history book.
I think
they are now. I don't know.
They're not
it's been a long time.
Books.
Some of them are. Ruby Bridges is, you know, like, I don't know.
All right. Well, happy Women's History Month. And let's get to our guest today. These guys were listeners who sent in their story.
Yeah.
And, well, actually, it's Tiffany and Carissa, and they emailed
sent
and
in a
said,
question.
Yeah, they emailed and said, hey, we want to hear about interracial couples. Have you talked to anybody? I was like, no, but let's talk to you.
Because we're always listening. So
they don't have a baby yet, but they're in the process. So we're going to talk through it with them.
Yeah. And they're fun. They're young. They're coming at us from Detroit.
Yeah. All right.
Which is cool.
Well, let's bring up ye old Skype and
I'm sorry. What's wrong with you? I don't think you guys know how late it is for us right now.
Tiffany and Carissa, ladies and gentlemen.
The Tiffany and Carissa interview. Stop
talking. Oh my God, Jamie.
Here they are.
Tiffany and Carissa.
Hi,
I'm
guys.
Sitting here with us. Funny story. Listeners to our podcast.
Yes.
And now on our podcast.
Look at how these things work out.
Like it can happen. It's like dreams come true for some people.
It's beautiful.
I mean, are we putting words in your mouth? It's probably not a dream, is it? It's sort of like a nightmare.
No,
not at all.
We're super excited to be here.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. And you're
totally
coming all the way from
Detroit.
Yeah,
warm beach town, Detroit, Michigan.
So, Tiffany, you sent an email and asked about if we had talked about a particular topic. And I wanted to, before we get into your elevator pitch, like talk about why we brought you in here. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I totally do. Which your reply, I was really like shocked when you were like, it's funny you should ask. Are you interested in talking about this thing on the air? And I was like, well,
I am now.
Squeaky oil gets the oil.
Well, listen, for those of you at home, if you're going to email us, watch out. You might end up.
I know,
on
we
the
do
podcast.
Reply.
We
I know,
do.
It's great. We're like, hi. Okay, so talk about what you had asked about.
So I was seeking out other parents who were of different races, who were parenting together, who were also queer, because that's something that my partner and I talk about all the time. Carissa and I are always talking about it, specifically because like she's very, 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 very white. I'm sorry. let me minus one of them. It's very
no.
Just I'm gonna go take one it. Of them away because you can do spicy food. And you put lotion on.
You put lotion on.
You can take one very.
And I am very, 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 very black. But to that end, like we're just very visibly of different races. But in particular, just the unique, as my mother would say, the unique history here in the United States of America.
Oh, I love your mom.
It's a very unique history. It makes it so that with her, with like blonde hair, blue eyed, and then me with like dark skin and locks, we look like a conversation that I think folks in the U.S. have been having since Africans were first brought here and enslaved.
And then there's a whole other layer now. Now you're two women.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And you have like very German roots and like your folks lived in Germany for a little while too, even. And like for me, we're like slave African American. Mm-hmm. Like we can go back as far as the last plantation that my family members were on. And I have like a strong, strong history. I mean, my folks came up on night trains.
Wow.
My grandfather had all sorts of horrifying experiences with the Klan. It's what drove him north. Yeah. So like it's a very different, I think, backgrounds we're coming from, but a very similar experience when it comes to being queer folks.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty high femme most of the time. Sometimes I switch it up a little bit. Just a little bit. I gotta switch it up, you know.
I just had like an image of like me moving my son's bed. Like, I wonder, let's switch your room around. And you're like, I'm shaving my hair.
My whole entire aesthetic.
Yep.
Sometimes I always joke, I'm like, sometimes I'm, you know, more Dorothy Dandridge and other times more Young M.A. But
okay.
She is pretty straightforward butch. And so it speaks to a whole nother layer of historically anti-blackness. I guess I struggle with I don't play the oppression Olympics. And I watch how people treat both of us sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's pretty tricky and it can get dicey.
Maybe you don't even know like what the real issue is. If someone's
yeah,
like,
you really
sort of
don't. And who has time to parse the shit out? I'm trying to get in and out of Kroger, you know? Fine.
Hey, Robin.
Yes, Jamie.
You know what the hardest part of mothering is?
Bedtime, the whining, getting your kids to put their shoes on, for God's sakes.
Well, you got a lot, but it's so true. But can you imagine being a mom who suffers from recurring migraines?
No. I mean, Mary gets them sometimes. I feel
she
so
does.
Bad for her. But we just found Cove, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They have this online service, and the people at Cove, the doctors, they're basically making it easy for you to treat your migraine from the comfort of your own home.
Oh, you love that.
I do love that. But what mother out there doesn't love that? Especially when you have a migraine, you don't want to be going out and sitting in the harsh fluorescent lights of a doctor's office.
No. And I too am a fan of a good online service.
Of course.
I mean, like moms have no time to make an appointment at a doctor's office and then take the subway with their kids down to the doctor's office. Like, no way.
And that's what's cool is like with the Cove, once you've created your account, there's a licensed doctor that's from your state that's going to review your symptoms, come up with the best course of treatment that is just for you.
Totally
completely
individual.
Individualized. And then they're going to send get this, the FDA approved medications directly to your door.
I love that. I mean, you love that.
I do love things sent to my door. I do. And I the thing with COVID that I love is that they really just do this great job of educating you and breaking down everything that you need to know about migraines and migraine treatment. Mm-hmm. They have like a 101 about migraines online. It's just, it's that like extra mile.
Yeah. I love a good educational thing.
Do you?
Jamie? I do. And I don't have a headache right now, but I know one's coming.
Yes.
Yeah. I have two kids.
Because you're a mom.
Yeah. And it's good to know COVID's out there. I'm signing up.
Okay. Well, and for our listeners, if you have migraines or you know somebody who does, we've got a special offer out there for you. So you just basically need to use your special code to get the first month of treatment for free. Go to withcove.com/OCT. That's withcove.com/OCT.
Yes. Did you hear that? You can get the first month of treatment for free.
That's amazing.
Don't suffer anymore. Go to withcove.com/OCT and get your first month of treatment for free.
From home.
Do it from home.
You guys don't have a baby yet. So I'd love to do your elevator pitch on what your family is going to be or around your future family.
So our family, we want our first, at least like, initially, we want to attempt carrying, specifically Tiffany carrying.
Okay.
Via artificial insemination.
Yeah.
And do you know your donor choice ethnicity?
We have
that's
a list.
Interesting.
So yeah, that is an interesting question because, and that delves right into our looking at race when it comes to our family and our children. Because we do have a list based on
the cryobank
that we're going with, and it includes various.
Yeah.
Oh, really? So you haven't like said it's this or that.
We have.
Yeah.
And we've edited and then we have again and we've edited.
Okay.
We've really only looked at either white or black.
Yeah.
Which emulates the two of you. So that makes sense.
But if Tiffany's going to carry, then if they choose a
here's my question.
Person of color.
I have a couple questions. So you guys obviously have already started this process. I thought this was like down the line, but we've started the process. You guys are like.
So the only thing we have started is we have looked at a bank and we have looked at the availability, the available donors.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we've started going through the list.
So you're starting the preliminary. This is like, this gets into the whole choosing Superman.
And you know, but it's
which
also,
everybody struggles with this.
But it's also like they're bringing us into their decision.
I love it.
And well, I just wonder if that's a good
they're
idea.
They're not asking us to help.
I know,
them.
But by being here, they did.
Yes.
So well, we're going to give our opinions.
We're going to get in there. No, but also.
Let's get a binder.
Wait, so Tiffany, you're going to carry, but is it going to be your egg?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, all right.
What's the conversation you're having around if it's a white donor or a black donor?
So there have been a couple of conversations.
Yes.
One of which started around an episode of Blackish that we watched.
It
was about Black-ish. Colorism.
Oh. What?
Do you not like Blackish, no. Tiffany?
You let her have her space.
That's Blackish.
it was an episode that talked about colorism. And
yeah, but I mean, full disc. Because I don't know where you're going with this.
Also, you guys are millennials.
I was expecting a very different show than what ended up happening. Because the whole premise of the show was, you know, there's the darkest skinned person in their family and on the show, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. They lit her poorly. Mm-hmm. And I've had that happen to me a lot of times. I went to predominantly white institutions my entire life. Mm-hmm. And it was happening all the time. There would usually be times where it was like an entire white school, mm-hmm. and then like three or four black kids. So I was always the only black kid in the class.
Wow.
And so like, you know, I was expecting that to be the conversation, but it was so much beyond that. It mm-hmm. spoke a lot to some of the colorism, in particular, how many black folks feel, especially darker skinned black folks feel about lighter skinned black folks. Mm-hmm. And it was just very awkward for me because I'm really quick to be, you know, when something happens, especially when there's some sort of where I feel like I'm being mistreated, mm-hmm. if it's on the part of someone who is lighter skinned, mm-hmm. I will call that out and I'll be very much like, I see what happened there. Because I'm so used to being treated weirdly because I am dark skinned and I have like very, very nappy hair and I like my nappy hair and I like my big nose with my African features. I like them. But I did get a lot of shade from it, but not from within my family. Mm. My family was very like, your skin is everything. Mm. Dark skin is the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, your beautiful skin. My grandfather looked more like you, honestly, mm-hmm. the, like in terms of the color of his skin than me. And he would just walk up and like touch my skin. He was super into it. My mom is super into it. Like it was never an issue. I cannot say that of my hair, but I can say that of my skin.
But how about in the whole African-American community as a whole? Did you experience colorism in the community?
Yeah, totally.
But I just want to bring it back to the donor a little bit because I want it, because to me, there's, given what you just said and what Krista was saying, there's a really obvious question that like there is like, if you go the one route, you're going to have a lighter skin baby if you have a white donor. And if you go the other route, you're going to have Carissa. I don't know. There won't be any modeling of Carissa. So like, where do you go with that? Like, is that a hard conversation?
Yeah. And it has been a hard conversation because I don't have any feelings about the baby looking like me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we would either end up, I mean, there's no way to know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Actually, you don't know. Even if you chose a white donor, you don't know if they're going to be light skinned anyway.
No, you don't. Right.
No, certainly.
It's all over the place. And that's something that at least the black folks I'm around talk about all the time. Some of these white folks think they're a lot more white than they are. Because, you know, if you were to do a 23andMe, especially if you're from the deep south, you might do some stuff. Yeah. So like, and same for me, like I know for a fact, because again, people like my grandfather are born where it's like, where did this light skin come from?
So then what are you using to choose? Like what are you using to make the decision?
We were really looking at just general markers, like, I think.
Interests.
Yeah.
Honestly, like.
So you're not necessarily
genetic markers
physical?
Too, like quite frankly, because uh-huh. I, you know, when I'm looking at certain things in my family, I am also looking at what does the donor have in their family.
So you're just opening the pool up and you're just saying it could be either. And we're going to choose the person, not the color.
Well, yeah, because initially, I think when we started down Love this that. Path, for me, my concern was because I know like Michigan, God bless us, you know, beautiful, wonderful place. However, like legislatively speaking, it's really hostile to queer people, in particular, queer people who want to become parents.
Really?
And my worst fear is somebody using those loopholes and those gaps in our coverage. Many of the legislation that's come in the past, like three to five, honestly, years or so, it's recent legislation that is created to make life harder for us. Mm. And so my fear is that folks who want to be mean will use that as an opportunity to do something mean. And so my rationale was, well, maybe we do need to aim for a medium brown somewhere in between both of us.
That looks like
either of us could have carried anyway, because I just am, I get nerve wracked that somebody will try to be mean, especially with you being so visibly queer all of the time. Mm. I'm very quick to be like, hi, how are you? Gay. And you are like, I'm quick to do that. But I still oftentimes pass because I am high femme.
Jamie, you know, I say this a lot, but we spend most of our lady lives being told to close our legs for fear of getting pregnant. And then we decide to finally have babies and a lot of us have trouble getting pregnant.
It's true. You do say that a lot, but it's also true. Like I waited till my late 30s and it took me a long time to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is now there's this at-home fertility test with Modern Fertility.
Yes. I wish I had had this 10 years ago. It would have saved me a lot of heartache.
Totally. Because the thing is that it ships this kit right to your house, which you know, I love.
Right.
And with a couple of days, a physician is reviewing the results.
It's also really cost effective. It's only $159. And these same tests at a doctor's office would cost you over $1,000.
Yeah, like $1,000 for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can use flex spending, your FSA or your HSA. Uh-huh,
whatever that is. Right? I don't know.
Well, it's your flex spending. Anne knows about it.
Yes.
And listen, all of our listeners with a uterus out there, we especially think that Modern Fertility is for you. If you want to find out who goes first, all these tests are conducted in a certified lab and they can tell your egg levels, what to expect from IVF or egg freezing or your hormone levels or related to PCOS. Basically, it's just going to be a window into your general health.
Right. 1 in 10 women has PCOS. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They also offer this personalized fertility team online so you can get your questions answered with one of their fertility nurses. Mm-hmm. You can also join their weekly webinar, which they humorously call an egginar.
I love that.
Or you can get involved with a community of women just like you. It's like a superpowered text chain, you know, with community like of like-minded ladies.
Oh, who I love that. So, and to all of our listeners who you're like, oh my God, Modern Fertility is for me. They're offering $20 off the first Modern Fertility test. So just go to modernfertility.com/OCT. Take that quiz, get $20 off.
Yeah, modernfertility.com/OCT and take the fertility quiz and get $20 off.
You got
to
do this.
You got to do it. It comes to your door.
Yeah, so right now we have landed, our top five, I guess, includes both white donors and black donors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my anxiety is too high. I was just like, you got to figure this out because I can't.
Yeah. So what is this going to, who's going to make this decision? Yeah. Has it gotten really heated or has it been amicable the whole time?
We have not thought about this.
Okay. That's great.
Been amicable.
They just whispered lovingly at each other. I'm very angry with you right now.
Yeah. Wow. Bit. You have us like boiled down to like the essence of our relationship already.
It is a little bit like, well, I just feel like
I'm not being heard right now.
No, but we made the list together.
Yeah.
And honestly, like you gave me the list and you were like, you should pick out some that you like. And you sat there and half did other things on your phone and half like whenever I showed you one or like told you something about one, you were like, you offered like feedback. And so it was more of a mutual thing that we made the list.
True. When I get too overwhelmed, I'm like, I just need to go watch a brow or edge tutorial. I can't do this. So it was between a toggling between that and like lists of donor attributes.
At the current moment where we stand right now is Tiffany has told me that I should make the decision from the top five.
And Tiffany, you'd be happy with any of the five?
Honestly, I hit a point where I was just like, I don't care anymore.
This is what happens.
I want a baby.
Right. Yeah. This is what happens with the search for Superman. We get so caught up in the craziest stuff. Not that I'm saying choosing the ethnicity of your donor is a crazy thing to have to get caught up in. That is actually something much deeper than me being worried about the donor having acne as a teenager.
For their whole life.
Right.
In this decision.
Totally. This is big. But it is this search for Superman. We get, because we have so many choices, it is so hard to make this decision because it seems like such a big decision, which it is really.
Yeah.
When it boils down.
Because in my family, people literally just come home and are like, hey, I'm pregnant. Here we go. And I'm like, cool. And then like I had the same thing happen with a very dear friend of mine that I'd known since kindergarten, you know? Mm-hmm. And she was just like, hey, I'm pregnant. I did not plan it. I don't know what comes next. I am no way, shape, or form ready, but I know my heart is. Mm. And so I'm just going to do this and we're going to figure it out. And here we go. And I said, it's like I have so many choices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have so many choices. Mm-hmm. And then we also have families that are where they're at in the journey of being queer affirming. Mm.
How does your family feel about your relationship?
The word family speaks to so much because I think on both sides, brother, our families are coming from same race, but different lived experiences. The level with which we're going about queering is not something they've seen before.
I need you to unpack that for me. What do you mean?
Yeah.
We're fairly radical.
Yeah.
I guess, is especially in terms of our family, in politics, in living.
Yeah. And you're out and you're kissing in front of them and you're affectionate in front of them, which is, this is something for your generation. Our generation, not so much did this in front of our family. Mm. Some people
did. I think it's more than generationally because there are some folks in my generation, in my family anyway, who are queer and they don't do it how we do it. It's a class thing. Mm-hmm. It's class, it's time, it's all of the things. They don't have the access mm-hmm. to do something like intentionally have a baby or intentionally partner with someone in a way where marriage equality means something to them. Like, I mean, it's a class thing. And mm-hmm. I think we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that some of this stuff is like, we have money.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you get to do these things.
And I remember mm-hmm. I was on the phone. Oh my gosh, I was talking to my mom and I was like, and like, gov, gov, gov. And we were doing the she's Rose and I'm Midge Maisel. Like we both yeah, are yeah. doing the thing. And you know, like, and we're, and she was like, Tiffany, you have money. A lot of this is going to resolve itself. Mm-hmm. And I just never thought about it because when my mom had me, she didn't have money. But now the bitch is loach. She is rich. Okay. And so like, and she worked damn hard and she invested yeah. her patootie off. Mm-hmm. And it was a single mom with me on her own, figuring it out. We didn't have a refrigerator the first couple years of my life. Mm. So I understand why she says that. But as a person who has not parented as a queer person in a state where, you know, it can be kind of hostile sometimes. I want to believe that. I want to mm-hmm. believe that we could buy our way out of this. But I, quite frankly,
it's not necessarily true.
I just don't see that being true.
I mean, like, truthfully, some of it you can, and some of it you yeah. can't. Like, you're like my, like, yeah. you know, we do all right. And my son feeling like he's the only man in, or, you know, male in the household, no amount mm-hmm. of money that we have makes a difference.
It's not going to change.
That's
that.
His feelings. And that, you know, that's part of being a non-traditional family is there's this other layer that doesn't go away.
Yeah. You guys are going into this with the knowing that you got to put a lot of thought in. A lot of thought has already gone into your family planning.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, like what other things are you outside of the actual, like how you're going to make the baby, but in this, to the same vein, like what other things are you thinking about or concerned about? Is there anything you're modeling from other people you know that have kids?
That's partially why Tiffany reached out to this podcast is because we don't currently have a lot of friends that are mm-hmm. either queer and or having kids mm-hmm. and or happily partnered mm. and or interracial. Yeah. Like we have no friends really that fit except for like happily partnered.
Yeah.
Do you have you a lot are. Of queer, do you have a community of queer friends where you are? Or is it like you guys on an island?
Yes and no, because like we're pretty radical just in general. So that's helpful. Like in, you know, my muggle life, I call it, you know, I work for a nonprofit law firm working in restorative justice and black liberation, right? But on the other side, I'm totally a burlesque dancer. So like,
of course you are, Tiffany.
Oh, here, there, and everywhere. And I, you know, sometimes don't have my top on and sometimes I have many tops on.
As you do.
Sometimes I have many tops on and a blazer.
Yeah.
But I think, for me, it's different because I have a lot of family here mm-hmm. and that becomes super tricky because we demand access to our younglings. We demand mm-hmm. access to our legacy. It's literally our children are our legacy. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's tricky because I'm like, I don't really like the way y'all do stuff sometimes. And I don't like the way you treat queer people and speak about queer people. But also there's just some lifestyle stuff too, where mm-hmm. I'm like, some of the ways that they live, I'm like, I don't necessarily know how that would work with mm-hmm. the indoctrination that I plan to give our baby, right? And same for you, because like, your yeah. folks are very, 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 very like Christian in the mm-hmm. way where they're yeah. not interested in opening and affirming none of this.
Right. Well, I mean, I just want to ask
a follow up on that, or do you want to?
Go for it.
My question is like, we had a couples therapist once, like during a little rocky patch. Those are coming for you two ladies. More whispering, but she said, we don't have a lot of family. We each just have one sister and we don't have anyone. And she said, you have to build, it's your job to build a community or family. Is that something you're talking about? Like, how do you plan on building? See, cause you said you're the only two people, like you're kind of on an island. So how do you plan on handling that?
So we had already started talking about that, mm-hmm. honestly, before we started seriously talking about like having a baby together, because Tiffany had just moved back here, mm-hmm. pretty close to when we first started dating. And so there was a lot of like, I had had an established friend group here, but also kind of not, because within the last year and a half, I was out of a relationship. So a lot of those friends were shared. So there was some trickiness about us already from the beginning, like fleshing out a friend group as a couple, mm-hmm. before adding the extra layer of fleshing out that friend family group.
For sure.
In with the idea of for having sure. that support system when we had a baby.
And it is, you know, I have lots of folks who are going about parenting and who are queer and doing it intentionally in DC, mm-hmm. but not a ton here. And it's hard for me too, because I'm kind of picky and I'm like, I want Black people.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And so it's hard because a lot of the Black folks here aren't out in the way that I'm out. And also mm-hmm. it's hard for us to connect to one another because we don't have the same resources here and the same networks here of interconnectedness and community that we did in DC.
It's really interesting you're saying this. And I think this is going to add on to what Robin said. You're going to be faced with this regardless of if you have yep. a community or mm-hmm. not. It's going to be in your face the whole time. I was literally just thinking about this on my way here because a family member just asked our daughter, do you have our 5-year-old? Do you have a boyfriend? Do you, you know, and asking like these, and we like to use the term sweetheart, which I learned from Stacey Ann Chin, mm-hmm. which could be, you can have whatever sweetheart you want. Sweetheart is the term we use. We don't use boyfriend. We don't use girl, you know? And so this conversation just happened and I was on my way here thinking, well, how am I going to talk to Rose about this? How am I going to combat what she just heard from this family member who we love? Like, it doesn't matter. We have a whole community of gay parents mm-hmm. that we surround our children with, but we're in an overall society that places value on different things than what we're teaching in our home. So no matter how big your community is, it's going to be there anyway. And it comes down to what you do in the home and how you talk to your kids.
And to piggyback on what, if we're talking about Stacey Ann Chin, she did say, yes. and I think what she said was really true, is that once you have that kid, your world, like she was like, I'm now friends with these like old wealthy white women. She's like, that I never thought I would be, but right. because they're both their kids are in the same school. And it's like, there's like, this becomes this different connection. We actively, I mean, this podcast started because every year we go to the Gay Pride family picnic.
Yeah.
And so we, mm-hmm. our kids, both of my kids are going to Camp Highlight again this summer, mm-hmm. which is a kids of gay and lesbian, you know? So it's like, I think you'll look for places to find people like you. And then you look for the people that right. you like.
But it's going to be there no matter what. Society is there.
Yes.
And the mm-hmm. norm of society is boy and girl relationships and all mm-hmm. this. And, you know, interracial is not necessarily the norm. And you're going to be up against yeah. that. All of these things, it's all just starts in your home and what you do with it.
Which is the goal. I know for me, I feel that's something that I was already kind of equipped with because I always saw what I'm seeing in the world. I say that even now. I'm like, even people with hair like mine, mm-hmm. now that we've allowed Black people to be on TV in many different ways, shapes, forms, true, and whatnot, true. Now that we're allowing them to have, you know, we get speaking worlds.
Real characters,
now.
Real characters.
More and more. Right? It's not where it needs to be, but more and more.
We get to do all these things, you know, drive cars and everything. Oh, wow. But you see a type 4C hairstyle on the TV.
Yeah.
It's probably because a march is happening.
Right, right.
We will not, we still are like, okay, even if we let someone be darker skinned, mm-hmm. they need to still have, you know, a nice loose ringlet of
right.
sorts.
Yeah.
Petite mm-hmm. European features. Mm-hmm. Like we need, like, so I still am like, I consistently was consuming a world and being shoved into a world where people in the world, we're not like how I experience folks at home.
Right.
You know, so I still constantly experience this, you're shoved into stuff that isn't like what you're experiencing at home.
So you already have a really good taste of this.
I was going to say, mm-hmm. I was like, I mean, I figured it out. So I'm hoping.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm hoping we'll figure them out.
I mean, I feel like we just walk into whatever situation and look for the people that are like us. And I don't mean color, gender, any of that. I mean, like, we look for the funny people. We look for the people who covertly say we had a cocktail last night.
Well, for instance, I was on a play date right before this and the mom pulled out wine. I said, like, well, here's my like people. You. Here's exactly. my people. It's 11 a.m. and you have wine. We're good. I'm coming back.
And then look for the groups. Like, I'm not by nature a joiner, but we look for groups to show up to try to add it around the family. Cause it's, mm-hmm. I mean, because there, you know, there is the difference and it's always going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think you've done a good job of that.
Yeah.
I think you have for sure. Mm. A good job of like taking a look at long-term folks, like maybe smaller group and like less people that you're like, oh, I'm going to go out and connect with, but like higher quality.
Yeah. I will say like when we started dating, that was... I had just recently like realized how great my community was here, having just gone through a divorce the year before.
Yeah.
And so the ones that I had, essentially the ones that I had left were really like, you know, it weeded out the ones that were just, you know.
Yeah, hangers. Bye.
I lost a lot of them in my divorce too, although it wasn't a divorce. It was just a breakup. But lost a lot of friends.
Same thing. But it's
I mean, it's so when you're with someone at length, because you were with someone at length, I was with someone at length, and it ends, it starts a whole new like reality and a whole new path. It's like a whole new thing. And you do have to look at like, who am I taking with me?
Yeah.
But in my mind, I try to be so grateful and thankful for opportunities like that. Where I really have to take a look and say like, okay, like who is actually down for me and who is actually like going to be there? Because if and when the revolution comes, and so help me God, between the orange Clementine running the country and when people like Kim Porter literally dies, she's got the best doctors ever. She's a bajillionaire. How is this possible? When things like that, between all those things, I'm like, no, I need somebody that when I'm saying, hey, I'm having chest pains, is like, I don't care what Dr. Wu, when, where, and how said, it's probably fine. Don't worry about it. I'm coming in there and I'm advocating for you. I need people when somebody is screaming at me that I'm a fucking faggot and throwing stuff at me and throwing bleach on me is going to be like, what you're not going to do is that unless you want to catch the hands.
Yeah.
Like I need to people who are down for me if I'm going to make it. And I think that's something that you've done a really great job of doing. And I think that's something I really had to learn through a like devastating breakup, but also through just watching the things that my grandparents said that they experienced growing up start to happen to the people around me and the people that like and people like me.
Robin, guess what?
Oh my God, what? You found another online service?
I did, and you're going to love it.
I'm so excited. I'm intrigued. Go.
Well, I don't know about you, but finding glasses that fit my head is always a headache.
Okay, I don't really suffer from that, but okay, keep going.
You don't? I mean, maybe I have an oddly shaped head, but...
I didn't want to say it.
Anywho, okay. So Warby Parker offers a free home try-on program. Seriously, you order 5 pairs of glasses online. They ship them to you. You try them on. You choose the one you want. You ship them all back in the prepaid shipping label. And then they ship you the glasses you wanted. It's
I
like
love
that simple.
I love that. It's, and it's like, you don't have to try them on in the store where you go, can I have that one behind
the
counter?
Right, it's so embarrassing.
I mean, and also Warby Parker's basically make you look cool with the millennials.
Duh, it's Warby Parker. Like, that's a cool name. It was made by Jack Kerouac's books, just saying.
Okay.
The name.
All right. I didn't know that, but that's cool.
Yeah,
that's ordered a pair from their online service. But you know what I think is really cool is that they also partner with nonprofits to ensure that every pair of glasses sold, a pair is distributed to someone in need. And that's amazing.
Look at you being all worldly. I love that.
Trying.
Yeah. They make buying glasses easy and they're doing good things. It's a win-win.
Yeah. And the glasses start at $95. And guess what? That includes the prescription. That includes anti-glare and anti-scratch coatings and blue light filtering lenses are now available.
That's a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah. And if you have the iPhone X, you can download their app. And
oh, like virtually, trying it on?
You can virtually try on all the glasses. You get to see the color, the texture, the fit, you know, virtually. I did it with my daughter. It was like hours of fun, like too many hours.
Oh,
but you know.
Well, listen, guys, you need to get your Warby Parker. So you can order five pairs of glasses, try them on for 5 days, no obligation to buy. They ship it free, prepaid return shipping label. Mm-hmm. Just go to warbyparker.com/OCT and get your free at-home try-ons today.
That's worth repeating. Head to warbyparker.com/OCT to order your free home try-ons today. Do it now.
So you have your future baby, let's say a year from now in our reunion show, you got a tiny little baby here. What's your main like parenting point of view in terms of like how you're going to just go through the world with like this issue?
So I was raised very, very Christian, non-denominational, every stereotype of what non-denominational means.
Like some feet washing and all that business.
Yeah, and like mega church and speaking in tongues and all of that.
Wow. We didn't do that because Black Catholic.
But so like the idea of baptizing is not, and I don't have an opposition to that. It, even though in the church I grew up in, you did not actually baptize babies. You got baptized when you got baptized.
Yep.
Which was usually around like 12, 13. But I like rituals on the whole, and I like that as a ritual that we will bring into our home.
And you're both in agreement, that you will baptize. Interesting. Okay, good. About the, you guys have really thought this through, because I don't know if Anne and I would have had an answer for you with that. We had to hash that out when the baby came.
Well, I feel like whatever it is, like you guys, you're very thoughtful and intentional, mm-hmm. and that's going to serve you as parents and in this process. And I just feel like you're going to do great.
I sure hope so.
I've got high hopes for you in this baby.
You guys seem to look for the teachable moments already. well, and that's really what it comes down to.
I'm an educator.
But, you know, they're going to come up a lot when you have kids. Like my daughter had a friend over the other day, and we have a picture of, from New Yorker magazine, the month that, same-sex marriage was legalized. Mm-hmm. New Yorker did a cover with two brides on the cover. Mm-hmm. It was an illustration, and it was the same month that we got married. So somebody gave us that, framed it. So it's on our wall. Mm-hmm. And the friend just was sitting having lunch at our counter, and she looked at the picture. She goes, "Ew, that's two girls getting married."
And you're like, look around the house. Who just made you a sandwich, kid?
And I had a moment
that
where,
sandwich back.
Like, you have a moment where I can let that go. Or no, I can't, because my daughter is listening. So mm-hmm. I had to have a teachable moment with this 5-year-old friend of hers, which I don't know. Is that cool or is it not? But I have to. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? No, you really do.
So it's teachable moments, and you guys are like really going at this intentionally, and you're planning it and you're thinking it out. And I think you'll do good. I think it's beautiful. And I think that this is a testament to our families and how beautiful they are. Look at you. Haven't even had the kid yet. You haven't even started making the kid yet. And already have thought through so many answers, and you had so much to talk about with us just now. And yeah, you made a kid yet.
I hope you guys will come back and tell it. Like, I feel like we need, as you make decisions, can you keep us updated, and we'll drop them in episodes. So it'll be like the Tiffany and Carissa segment, and we'll see. And we're on the journey
of making a baby.
Can already see it in the metadata. And in this week's episode, we'll also see where Tiffany and Chris are. Tiffany and Chris have picked a donor.
I would absolutely love that.
Thank you so much, ladies. Guys. This was fantastic to hear your story. We look forward to hearing
snippets. To meet your baby.
I know. And pictures on the social media once you have that baby. So get cracking.
Absolutely.
No time like the present.
Can't wait either. I'm peeing on so many sticks right now.
So that was a great interview, but you know, we both talked about the fact that because Tiffany and Carissa didn't actually already have a baby, we thought we should reach out to an interracial couple who already has a kid and see what their experience is like.
Yeah. What have they gone through?
Yeah. So these are actually friends of Tiffany and Carissa's. They're Jasmine and Kate. And should we play a little clip?
I love their voices too.
I know, I do too. Mm-hmm. They're so thoughtful.
Let's listen to what they have to say, because it's insightful.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jasmine. My wife, Kate, and I are proud moms of an adorable 14-month-old girl named Sophie. We are an interracial lesbian couple, so when we decided I was going to carry the baby, it was important to me that Kate chose a donor that looked like her.
We decided that we would try to find a donor that not only matched my physical characteristics, but also had a good sense of humor and a love of sports. After we finished the challenging tasks of finding said donor, we really got the ball rolling. We found amazing doctors who were extremely welcoming of us and the journey we were about to begin.
We have lived in Seattle for the last 3 years where our relationship is more accepting than I expected. Either that or people here are too passive to say anything.
Our daughter was due February 10th, 2018, so of course, I crammed all of our baby family planning classes into January. Well, our dear Sophie decided she was too excited to wait to meet her moms and was born 6 weeks early on January 2nd, 3 days before our first class was supposed to begin. We were both so nervous,
but we figured it out. Day by day, we worked side by side, learning, adapting, and barely sleeping. Our journey has been pretty smooth thus far. So is like Washington accepting of our family? Do we have like great lives here? Yeah. Do people look at us in the grocery store occasionally and they're trying to figure out like who's the mom, what's the situation or whatever? Probably.
We used to think a lot about schools and daycares and babysitters and not only the fact that Sophie has two moms, but her moms are in interracial relationship. So it's unfortunate that we have to think about that. And we definitely don't think about it all the time. But when it does come up, we're like, okay, how can we best handle this? How can we make it so they know what they're getting into? And how can we put ourselves out there? Yeah. Honestly, every day we drive past Sophie's future elementary school, and it has a large banner on the front of the school that says, "We celebrate diversity," which is going to be interesting because we live in a city north of Seattle, which is primarily a white area.
Yeah, I think deep down I have anxiety about Sophie being accepted because of her color, and then on top of that, having two moms. I always feel better going out with Kate and Sophie together. Like when it's just me and Sophie and we go to the restaurant or a grocery store, or even just dropping her off at our gym daycare, she will most likely be the only Black mixed child amongst 98% white babes, kids. And I always think about if she will be treated differently by the staff or even just by the children. And then like, will she notice? Will it affect her? Like, how I grew up, like it's, I feel like it should be something that's normal and that she shouldn't have to think about. And I'm just worried that that pressure, that anxiety will pass on to her.
I think we both realize that we have a lot of tough questions that are going to have to be answered, both talking to Sophie and talking to others. Just this last Christmas, we were visiting family and my 7-year-old nephew was playing with Sophie and trying to get her to walk and was being super cute and looked at me and said, "Well, who's the dad?" And I said, "Well, she doesn't have a dad. She has two moms." And he's just thought about it for a second and he's like, "Oh, cool." So I think with kids, it is more accepted. That's just as, "Oh, that's her family." With adults, I think it might be a little bit different.
So, yeah, they've got to be thoughtful. I mean, the intersectionality of
it's just
all the different
one
things
more layer
with
on top of what we yeah. deal with. You know, yeah. like when you interview with your nanny and you ask if they're okay with the two mom. Yeah.
Thank you to Jasmine and Kate for sharing that. You know, like that's it's just really interesting to hear just the whole experience and what everybody has to go through. So thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as we've been saying that we're going to continue to hear more from Tiffany and Carissa there. Jamie wrote a theme song.
I didn't write a theme song. Actually,
it's
I
a ditty.
I got to give it up to Seiko Akita, who actually helped me with the piano on that.
Cool.
So
let's play it real quick.
Tiff and Carissa are having a baby.
See, now you want to come back for that segment, right? So throughout the season, yeah. at the end of our show, we're going to be checking in with Tiffany and Carissa. Yes. So make sure you come back. Mm-hmm. And I think, well, let's get some social media to people.
Yes. You know, you can hit us up at Facebook at If These Ovaries Could Talk, Instagram, ovaries_talk, and Twitter @ovaries_talk.
You know, you could just old-fashioned email us story ideas. Tell us you love us. We always love to hear that.
You guys, we read everything.
We do. And we are respond.
Addicted to ourselves.
Over talk@gmail.com. So we're looking for stories from listeners this year. We really want to push that.
We got a lot of them this season just from
so much
from listeners.
So, and do we say thank you to our lovely, the all new sponsors this episode.
Love you guys. Cove. Modern Fertility, and the ever
stylish.
So stylish Warby Parker.
And do not forget to use the promo code OCT for your purchase.
Yes, helps them out, helps us out.
And, you know, on our little outro sheet up here, it just says, item number 5, goodbye. So does that mean we got to say goodbye now?
I guess so. It's late.
Item number 5, eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
If his ovaries could talk, they would say...
Ovaries out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.